and share this video. Invite someone to church with you on this Easter Sunday morning. I just want to share before we take the offering. I was really praying yesterday and thinking about just the weekend. And yesterday was what is called Silent Saturday. It was a day where everyone thought Jesus to be dead, buried, and done. There was silence and there was confusion as Jesus taught that he was the Savior, and everyone was like, what's happening? They didn't understand. There was fear and there was silence from heaven. It seemed as though sin and death had won. Nothing made sense. It was a heavy and sad day, and probably felt to those that it would be like that forever, like they would never get that joy back again. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like God seems silent? Like the world is just dark and you feel like you'll never get that joy back again? I know that I have. But then, just when they thought that all hope was lost, Jesus comes back and defeats the grave. Just when you think it's over, God has just begun. And no matter where you are in life, we can cling to that living hope today. The Bible says in Mark, and you'll hear it again, when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body." And from that moment on, hope and joy returned. And the good news is that that event wasn't just for the disciples back then. It wasn't just for the people in that time era. It's for us too. It applies to me and you today just as it did to the disciples back then on Resurrection Sunday morning. Our hope, our faith, no matter where you are right now, God is working it out. God is working it out. We have a living hope today. He is alive and he is well. In 1 Timothy 4:10, it says, For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and particularly of all believers. And that is good news today, isn't it? We have a living hope. We have a living God that we can put our faith in, that we can put our trust in, and we can find that joy again. Amen. Well, let's get ready to give our tithes and our offerings today. In Proverbs 3:9-10, it says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." We see here that giving to God is an act of honoring him. It's saying, "God, I honor you with my finances. I honor you and I put you first." And when we do that, when we honor him with our first fruits, it says that our barns will be filled with plenty. That's so, just such an amazing thing to me, because when we honor God with our finances and stay faithful to him, he will bless us until our vats are overflowing. So let's honor God this morning in our finances. You can do that by downloading PushPay. You can actually take your phone out and open the camera and scan the QR code that's up there. It'll take you to a place to give. You can give with an envelope, by mail, or by text, or online at any time throughout the week. Pastor Ryan?
Give her a hand, would you? And if you're new here with us today, there's two mailboxes in the back. We don't hand offering buckets around anymore. There's two mailboxes in the back you can give there. Today is a great day. Amen. And today is a great day because Jesus has paid for the redemption of our sins. He paid a price that he didn't know and paid a price that we could not pay. Come on, somebody say amen. And it's a great day because of Jesus. And it's a great day in this place. We've had just a wonderful week. We've had so much fun together. Tuesday night, we had an Easter egg hunt. We had over 300 people attend that event from all over the county. and the eggs went fast. Amen. But we're having another Easter egg hunt upstairs and across the parking lot with the big kids right now. As many of you know, Thursday night we had an anniversary service, and give the Lord a praise for that. I remember 25 years ago, we were figuring it out. I was about 13 when the chairs went up in the side lawn, and what great things God has done in and through this place, and I'm so very thankful, and He's doing more. Just when I think, man, God could never top that off, there's no way He could do more, all of a sudden something else happens in this place among this people, and I'm just so thankful and grateful to be a part of it. And God has promised us that He takes us from faith to faith and glory to glory. How many of you are thankful for that? That He never stops, that His promises are true. And I know in my life that I've failed on my promises. Have you ever prayed a prayer like this? God, if You'll get me out of this mess, I promise You that I will, and all to come to a place of maybe a failure. Am I the only one here? Don't make me feel alone. But the good news is that God has made us a promise for our redemption. He's made a promise to save us a home in heaven. Amen. For those that know Him. And God is a promise keeper. He gives us promises, and He keeps His word. He's a promise keeper. He's a man of His word. A couple promises, I want to share them with you this morning. 1 Chronicles 6:16-15 says this, and you're familiar with this passage. It says, He remembers His covenant forever. Forever. That means today He remembers it. The promise He made for 1,000 generations. Amen. And in Psalm 105 and verse 8, He says these words, He remembers His covenant forever, the promises He made for 1,000 generations. It sounds like the same scripture, doesn't it? It sounds very similar in wording and in the promises of God. And I begin to look at those promises. And do you know there's over 100 promises that God makes to you and to me in the scriptures? I begin to look at those promises. And I found another one in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24 and verse 44. And it says these words. It says, Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses," which I just read to you in 1 Chronicles, "and also," He goes on to say, "in the Psalms," which I've just read to you. Then He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. How many of you want an open mind? He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in all the names of the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send to you what My Father has promised, but stay in the city." I love that. "Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." I want to just give you three quick thoughts on the promises of God. The first thought this morning, the scripture says, then He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Do you know that one of the saddest places to be in life is a closed mind? You ever heard a statement like this? "Well, I'm this way and I'll never be any different. Well, I think this way, and I'll never think any differently. Do you know that God wants to open your mind to new dimensions? He wants to take you from glory to glory and faith to faith. He wants to bring a joy, a laughter, a peace to your home that passes all understanding. And if you think that's an arrival, it isn't. It's not a destination. It is a moving goal that God, once you've experienced Him in such a way, in one faith, that He moves us to another faith and opens our minds to understand and receive. And it's not what I said. It's what Jesus said. Can you give Him a good amen this morning? He opened their mind, and He'll open your mind too. You might say, Ryan, I'm middle-aged. I've seen all I can see. I've heard all I can see. I could never experience what I've already experienced. I want you to know today, when you give your life to Jesus, when you commit your life to the Jesus that died on a cross for you and I, that he opens your minds to dimensions you've never seen, you've never experienced, you've never engaged in ever before. He can open your mind. If you receive that, say, open my mind. Second thing this morning, he opens our minds. And he says something else. And the repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached. Can I tell you today? He's promised forgiveness to you and to me. I've heard it 1,000 times. I've heard, God can never love me. I'm this type of person. I've said this, and I've done this, and I've acted this way, and I've acted that way. I want you to know this morning that you can't sin too much, and you can't sin too little for God to love and forgive you of all your sins and trespasses. I want you to know today that there's a God in heaven that promises you and I the forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of thought, the forgiveness of trespasses, that there's nothing that you will do or that you have done that is too great for the blood of Jesus to wash you white as snow. He's promised to open your mind. He's promised to wash you of your sins and trespasses. And lastly, this morning, he says these words, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. How many of you want the power from on high this morning? He says these words, stay in the city. And I couldn't help but think this. You are in the city church today. And when you stay in the city, when you stay in the place where the believers are gathered, where encouragement and hope and restoration is preached and shared, not only in word, but in deed. When you're around the fellowship of believers, when you stay in the city, when you stay in the house, the Holy Spirit becomes more and more real to you than ever before. And I know there's some in here today, you've known Jesus for a long time. Doesn't he just keep on getting better, church? Doesn't he keep on showing himself more and more real to you? But I'm going to tell you today, when you stay in the city, when you stay in the house of the Lord, he becomes more and more real every day. I know some have come today. You haven't been to church in quite some time, maybe Christmas time was the last time you were here. And we love you, and we're so glad you're here today. And it's okay. Get a cookie, drink some coffee. But can I tell you, can I just share with you today that when you stay in the city, when you stay in the house, when you stay among God's people, the Bible says that iron sharpen iron, so does one friend sharpen another. The Bible says that a three-cord strand is stronger. When you are around God's people, when you stay in the house, there's something that takes place inside of you that could never happen when you're all alone. Don't do life alone. We're so much better together. Yeah, give the Lord a praise if you're going to praise him. I want to read you one more scripture in this same passage. Jesus ends the passage this way. He says, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. This is God's temple. This is God's house. This is the place where people come to me and praise and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can I tell you today? There's a misconception that you got to be perfect and have all the right answers. That's what culture teaches us. You better have it all together. You better answer right, look right, talk right to be a part of the temple. Can I tell you? The exact opposite is true. That Jesus died on the cross, the perfect Lamb of God, so we as humanity could come to Him as imperfect as we are. I've had people tell me my whole life, why do you spend so much time at church? Why in the world would you spend so much time in the temple? Why would you go there so much? Can I tell you the answer that I've said many times? And I say it with new passion and new vigor today. And I mean it today more than ever before. That when God touches you like He's touched so many of us, when God heals a marriage, when God brings hope when all seem lost, when He touches you the way He's touched us, you can't help but to go and experience His goodness one more time in His temple. To get in His house one more time in His temple. When you aren't here, you could miss a promise. You could miss one of the most important moments of your life. One of the most impactful moments of your life. I pray for that type of impact today. I pray for a moment like this today where you give your life to Christ so your mind can be open, so your spirit can be renewed, so your life can be changed. If that's your prayer today, lift your hand in the house of the Lord. I pray for that type of impact today. Today and tomorrow and the next day, next Sunday. I pray that this year, 2022, would be a moment, a defining moment of impact on families and on lives in this place. And God, we won't take any of the attention for it. We'll give all the praise to You. You are worthy of it all this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Come on, let's give Jesus a big hand clap today. Can you do that? Where's my woohoo crowd? Come on. Lord, bless Your people in a powerful way, I pray. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So good to see you today. You look beautiful. Ladies, you look extraordinarily beautiful. Can we just say praise God for all the ladies today? Come on, men. And I'm glad to have my friend from the Batavian, Howard Owens, is in the house today. Can we just thank God for him? Thank you, Howard. Beautiful table in the back with coffee and refreshments on it for you. And aren't the flowers beautiful? And if you didn't see that beautiful bouquet right up on the cross today, that is not plastic. Those are the real thing. And I'm just grateful for that, too. Isn't the house just beautiful today? Well, as Pastor Ryan said, this week has been absolutely amazing with Tuesday night at St. Anthony's and over 300 kids and parents there for the Easter egg hunt. It was beautiful. And Thursday night for our 25th anniversary celebration was just absolutely beautiful. Thank all of those that were there and those that served and gave. It just made such a difference. Actually, our anniversary took place on Easter Sunday morning. It was the first time, if you didn't know, this church started in our home. In the home my son lives in today. He's the fifth generation to live on that family farm. And we started with a Sunday, Easter Sunday brunch, and continued on from there to go from the house to the side yard to the YWCA and then to land in here and to acquire the former dealership next door, which was George Smith Motors, and now it's a Generation Center. Kids are over there today. And then 5 years ago to embark on yet another journey with the beautiful St. Anthony's property. So the Lord has been good to us, hasn't He, though? He really has. And then our Good Friday services were just, they're always the best. And again, it's just been an incredible week. As Pastor Ryan said, You don't get tired when you know you're doing things as unto the Lord. Some of my pastor friends, they say to me things like, I don't know how you do this week, because we were doing something every night this week. And I just tell you, there's an empowerment that comes from above, that when you serve God, when something happens inside of you, somebody explained it to me like this. One time they said, loving and serving the Lord is like a game of tag. He touched you first, and now you are on a mission to touch him back. And everything you live for is to have that connection with him. And I pray that today that will be the case in your life. I spoke a couple weeks ago, and I just used the phrase moving forward. And I wanted to carry that into today with actually an Easter edition, because this is an incredible day, that whether you have a personal relationship with Jesus or you don't, that doesn't change anything today. He's still alive. He died for you and for me, for everyone. It doesn't matter what background you are, how young, how old you are, what color, where you're from. Jesus Christ came into the world and gave his life for you and I. And he not only gave his life, but the Bible says that he was buried, and on the third day, this is what we celebrate today, he rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And no matter where life finds you, amen, that's a good time to play, to give him a praise. No matter where life finds you today, his desire is to have that relationship with you. And maybe for some, you don't have that. I just want to encourage you, he came for you. Maybe some of you, you've had it, but it's gotten a little lukewarm. He's not upset at you. He's not mad at you. He has come as he rolled the stone away at one tomb. He's come to roll the stone away from whatever is holding you down or from whatever is holding you back. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24 that he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Completely. He always lives, the Bible says, to intercede for them. Do you know that Jesus is praying for you right now? In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8:34 that he sits at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for you and I. Today, Jesus is also in prayer, along with many others, for your life, for your future, for your destiny, for you to live the way he has called and created you to live. And then it says in verse 27, he sacrificed for their sin. Once and for all, he offered himself. He took upon his life your sin and my sin, sin he didn't commit, a price he didn't need to pay, but a price we could not pay, and a sin that we did commit. Jesus went to Calvary and washed it all. All to him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Come on, praise God today. And I want to encourage somebody, if you've forgotten this, or if you've never been exposed to this, that Jesus just wants you to make the move today, to move into the life that he has promised for you. And again, he's not here to condemn you or to judge you, and nor is anybody else. The Bible says, Jesus says this in John chapter 3 and verse 17, that God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world. We get that mixed up sometime. And thank God for well-meaning, sometimes religious people that want to point a finger at us when we make a mistake, when we do wrong. But I've lived long enough, and I'm not that old. You're slow, but you're worth waiting on. To know that I don't care who you are, where you've come from, what your background is, that Jesus Christ, he doesn't say, well, this one's good, but this one's not so good. he's a little better, not so good. He doesn't look at anybody like that. He looks at humanity with one heart and with one eye, and that is to love you into a relationship that'll change your life forever. And how does he do that? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for you and I, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have nothing to lose today, and you have everything to gain when you surrender all of your life over to him. The Bible says in Romans 8:11 that it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. If it dwells in you, it will quicken, it will make alive your mortal body. And if he is victorious over the grave, if he has conquered death, he is surely enough to help you overcome whatever it is in your life, to conquer whatever it is that is holding you back. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's depression. Whatever is against you, he is bigger than all of that. He has come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to make your life and my life better today. And it's not just for a select few. It's not just for certain people. If you're going through turmoil, he came for you. If you're hurting in your life, he came for you. If you are stuck, he came for you. If you're dealing with depression and discouragement, he came for you. If your problems are so big that you don't know what to do, that same power that rolled that stone away, that raised Christ from the dead, wants to come into your life and raise you out of whatever it is that has you held down or held back. For some of you, you need to know the forgiving power of Jesus. For some of you, you need to learn that he's forgiven you and that you can forgive yourself today. Maybe I need to say that again. For some of you, you need to know that he's forgiven you and that you need to forgive yourself. You know what I've learned? None of this is in my notes, so this is all free. You know what I've learned? I've learned that when people know that Jesus has forgiven them, that they are more apt not only to forgive themselves, but to forgive others. And I've also learned that people that struggle with knowing that Christ has forgiven them have a hard time forgiving themselves and forgiving other people. Can I just encourage you today on this Resurrection Sunday morning that this is a day that you and I can know for a surety that he has come to release you from whatever has held you down, whatever has held you captive. And I really believe that this day is for many of you, and that whatever has hindered you, he is going to use it to move you into the purpose and the plan and the destiny that he has created for your life. He wants to move you from that place of fear, move you from that place of hurt, move you from the place of depression, move you from a place of feeling unwanted. And when I wrote that down, I just felt the Lord to stop me right there and to tell you, you're not just important to God. You are important to people that maybe you haven't even met yet, but will become your friends when you trust Jesus with your life. That's why the house of God, as Pastor Ryan said, is so important, because you find out you're not alone. You're not unwanted. There's not a person that walked through these doors, or even to those that are watching online today. You're not unwanted. You are wanted. We love, come on, is anybody in here, do you agree with me on that? You are wanted. It's not just enough to know that Jesus has done what he has done for me from a historical point. I need to know it in my life personally. I love this story. I'm just going to be just a moment more. I love the story of Mark chapter 16. It displays one of the most incredible stories of the resurrection of Christ, but how he loves those who don't think they can even have a part. In Mark 16, verse 4, the Bible says, "And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large, And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." I love that. That's such a powerful account of the resurrection of Christ. But what he says right after that is so important for every one of us to know today. He says, "But go tell his disciples." And then he pauses in that sentence and he says, "And go and tell Peter also that he is going before you to Galilee, and you will see him just as he told you." Go tell his disciples. But I want you to pause there. And he says, "And I want you to go tell Peter as well." Peter, who walked with him, prayed with him, who tried to attempt him when the Roman soldiers come to take him away. Peter, who partook of Passover with him. Peter, who Jesus washed his feet. Peter, who was someone who was close to Jesus, but at the end would say, "I didn't know you. I don't know you." As they're taking Jesus away, as they're leading him to Golgotha, the Bible says in Luke 22 that all of this came about. You see, Jesus, at that Passover evening, Peter says, I'll stay with you always. I'll never leave you. And Jesus looked at him, and he said, "Before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me." And here it's coming to pass when they're carrying him away. Peter, something was wrong in his heart. Something had misguided him along the way. Something got into the way there because he rejected Jesus. And the Bible says in Luke 22 that this came to pass what Jesus said. As they're taking Jesus away, a servant girl noticed him and was staring at him. And she spoke, "This was the man with Jesus." And Peter said, "No, woman, I don't even know the man." Number one, denial. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, "You must be one of them." Peter said, "No, sir, I am not." Number two, denied him. About an hour later, somebody said, "I know this fella is one of the disciples, for both are from Galilee." And Peter said, "Man, I don't even know what you're talking about." Number three. And the Bible says that as he said those last words, a rooster crowed. That's compelling enough. But this next verse, at that moment, Jesus turned around and looked into Peter's face. And Peter remembered what he had said. And Peter, the Bible says, he walks out of the courtyard crying bitterly. Because when it came up, when it came time for Peter to stand up for him, he turned away. He avoided it. He went his own way. He was too busy. He was whatever. And I think about my own life. I think about the moments in my life where I have had encounters with the Lord. And I've said before, "I'll never leave him. I'll never do that." Only to find myself in a place where I took the step back rather than taking the step forward. We've heard such great reminders all this week of the differences of life, and how even when Judas sold Jesus, that he had an opportunity to step forward to Jesus, but he stepped away. His life was gone. Contrarily, the man that hung on the cross, one of the three, Jesus and the two thieves, one of them said, "If you were who you were, said you were, you could get us out of this." But the other one is what we should focus on. He said, "Will you do one thing?" This is all he said. "Will you remember me?" And Jesus looked at him. He took a step towards Jesus that day, even while he's hanging on the cross. And Jesus said, "This day, you'll be with me in paradise." And all this is happening. And Peter had denied Jesus. And Jesus is hanging on the cross, and every demon in hell was rejoicing, saying, "We won." But can I tell you today that the story didn't end there, and you know it so well. And even as we've heard the phrase Silent Saturday, let me tell you something. It was silent maybe on the face of the earth, but in the heavenlies, there couldn't have been more activity. Every demon in hell was hoping that this Jesus, who they knew would rise from the grave, would stay dead in that tomb. But as the time clicked on, and as God the Father's plan was beginning to come to full fruition in that life, demons were running. Demons were scared. They had no more hold. And when Christ came out of that grave, he broke the chains of sin, hell, and death. The Bible says in the temple that day, there was a veil that was rent, that was torn from top to bottom, no longer keeping anyone out, but now allowing us all to step in to the grace and to the forgiveness and into the hope and into the peace and into the life that Jesus has created for you and I. And Jesus was saying, "Peter, I know what you've done." Peter knew it was in his heart before that day. And he didn't tell him that the rooster would crow three times, "You deny me." He didn't tell him that to push him away or to reject him. He just wanted to be a reminder to his life. And I believe it's a reminder to your life and mine how frail and how fragile we are. And how we can't survive without Jesus. My brothers and my sisters today, no matter where you are in life, you and I can't survive without Jesus. How could we go on? How could we move forward without Jesus in our lives? I think of some of the most distressing, harmful, hurtful moments in my life. I don't turn to me for strength. I'm fairly strong. But I don't have that kind of strength. When the enemy comes against me, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. And you need Jesus in your life, as Peter did. And Jesus, with his kindness and his love, displays to each and every one of us through this story that it doesn't matter how far you are. If you're away from him today, it doesn't matter. You made some mistakes. I talk to people all the time. "Pastor, I just don't know how I can move forward. I've done this and I've done that." Let me tell you something. When you come to the cross, he wipes your slate clean. He does not look at you for denying him, but as he did for Peter, he looks for you because he wants to show you forgiveness. He wants to show you love. He wants to show you life, and that more abundantly. There's not a man or a woman in this room or watching online today. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that none are righteous, not even one. None. I don't care how good you look. I don't care how many Bibles you carry. None are righteous. No, not one. But when we come to Christ, when we yield our lives over to him and we say, "Jesus, come into my heart and my life," he takes all of that baggage, all of that. I don't know about you, but let me tell you something. I had so much baggage in my life, a pickup truck wouldn't carry it. If I had to literally have, I'd have to have a caravan of tractor trailers to cover and to carry my baggage, my sin, my brokenness, my disappointment, my hurt, my failures. But when I met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He took it all. He who knew no sin, oh, thank you, Lord, became sin for me, that I might stand today and be counted as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, let's praise Him like we mean it today. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head with me. I want to pray for you today. For some of you, this could be the greatest prayer you've ever prayed in your life. Those of you that are home watching as well, wherever you are, I know there's some that are sick in body. I pray for those who are sick today. I pray healing. The Bible says that by His stripes we are healed. I pray peace. I pray hope. I pray strength over your life today. For some of you today, you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you have given your heart to Him. You got busy. Maybe something got in the way. Can I tell you that Jesus, as He asked, and He said, go tell Peter as well. He's saying that to you and I today. He's using your name today. Go tell Bill. Go tell Brad. Go tell Adam. Go tell Ryan. Go tell Wayne. Go tell them. I was dead, but now I live. And I live for you. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, everyone in this house today, just pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart and my life. From this day forward, I will allow you to guide me and direct me and move me into the life you've created for me. Be my Savior and be my Lord. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said a big amen today. Come on, big amen today.
God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. Oh. is gone, because I know, we know He holds our future, and life is worth living.
We want to thank you so much for being with us this morning. Those of you that are online, thank you so much for being here. God bless you. Have a great day. We're going to be right across town at our St. Anthony's location at 12 noon. God bless you. Have a fantastic day.